Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an old song that you probably know, and it goes, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. That's kind of our topic in a nutshell here for the month of July as we move forward to confirming our young people at the end of the month, our confirmation Sunday for this year. We're looking at what it means to be a member of the church, what it means to be part of our church here. There's one verse of that song that starts off with, the church is not a building. And so it's kind of interesting that we have our words from 1 Peter chapter 2 today. You yourselves are being built up as a spiritual house. In other words, you're being built together by God himself, built up into a spiritual building. Now, the point, of course, both of the song and of the words in 1 Peter chapter 2 are simply that the church is the people. That's the end of that verse. But the people are brought together and built up by God himself into something like a spiritual house. That's one way of talking about the church in Scripture, as a building of God. And so as we reflect on these words from 1 Peter chapter 2 today, I want to talk about three things that Peter talks about in the reading. First of all, how this spiritual house is built. Second of all, how it can crumble. And third of all, what it's built for. So first of all, how the building is built. If you walk across Duke University's West Campus, you'll find yourself in the Abel Quad. And in the Abel Quad, you'll find a cornerstone that reads, Julian Abel, Chief Designer. The thing is, most of the buildings that are around that particular quad were designed by Julian Abel, but one cornerstone in particular bears his name. And having one's name on the cornerstone is a particular honor. When that happens, and it's not just this cornerstone in Duke University that it happens to, architects' names are often put on cornerstones, or at least sometimes are. And when it happens, the cornerstone gets granted another purpose. Along with its normal purpose, the cornerstone becomes the thing that proclaims who designed the building. Now, the normal purpose of a cornerstone, at least historically you might know, is that it's the first stone that's laid. And as the first stone that's laid, it's the stone that sets the direction for the entire rest of the building. To build your building on a cornerstone that is aligned correctly is to have your building aligned correctly. But if your cornerstone is off, the entire building is off. Here's our cornerstone. This is over. As if you're parked out on that side of church, you can see it as you walk out. It's kind of right outside the nursery room back there. And I don't think it performs its historical function anymore because it's not down on the corner. But I love it. Because it also does double duty. It also performs both of those functions that the cornerstone on Duke University performs. Both purposes are accomplished here because the cross is engraved in our cornerstone. It indicates the cornerstone, the alignment of, you know, not the physical building, of course, but the spiritual building to which Peter refers. God's spiritual house. On the one hand, this cornerstone, having the cross engraved into it, aligns our building correctly. Us, the congregation, us, members of the church here in Bethalto, that's how the builder operates. He aligns the congregation, the spiritual building, on the cross. It's the cross that gives God's spiritual building that we're a part of its direction and its dimensions and its alignment. And so to be a church member is to be a brick in this building that's aligned on the cross. And this cornerstone with the cross engraved commemorates the builder as well, the one who built the church. Again, not the physical building, though of course he was part of that too, but the spiritual building. We are the church together. Peter says that we are living stones who come to him, or rather who are brought to him. We as living stones, we lay by ourselves first, right? Out in the world, sometimes in deposits, sometimes alone, but stones lay scattered and strewn and purposeless. And it's not until we are mined or discovered that we become building materials. It's not until the architect brings us to the building site that we become more than simply rocks. We get to be a part of something. We are made a part of something. We are aligned together on the cornerstone, brought into the plans and the purposes of the great architect. And all of this stuff happens on the cross. Because, see, sin isolates. Sin splits us apart. It pushes us into different places. It makes us think that we are a building in and of ourselves. It makes us think that we have meaning and purpose in and of ourselves, when in fact we are strewn around the earth and we are completely alone. But on the cross, Christ is isolated. And on the cross, Christ is alone. And on the cross, Christ is driven out so that we might be gathered together from the field and freed from our isolation and united with God's people, aligned to the cornerstone himself. See, it's only through Christ's rejection that we can be accepted as materials that God will build up and that he will use to build a spiritual house, this community of faith that he's placed us in. To be a church member is to be brought together as part of the building that God is building. That's the gift. It's the gift of community. But we can't do the building. Only God does that part. Only God brings us together. And yet we can tear it down. And that's the second part that comes from Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 2. He begins the passage this way. Here's what he says. Put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander. Why does he say that at the beginning of this passage? Because he knows that that's the stuff that will tear down the building that God is building in Christ. And did you notice how many of those things are the result of individual words? The words of individual people. Deceit is lying or misleading. Hypocrisy is to say one thing and do another. Slander is to gossip and to spread lies. And let me tell you, few things are more disastrous or more destructive in God's spiritual building, in the church. You know where these things come from in the church? You know why we have a tendency to deceive and slander and to act hypocritical? I mean, they come from sin, of course. But more than that, they come from seeing ourselves as individual bricks and rather than as a part of the building that God builds. And so we find ourselves saying things like, I won't be part of the church unless, and I mean, fill in the blank with whatever you want there, right? I won't be part of the church unless it starts saying things that I agree with, unless it starts, or the people in it start acting more Christian, unless it starts doing things the way that I think that they should do them. I mean, these things come from a place, guys, that is very, very dangerous. It's a natural human tendency to want to want to be the cornerstone of the building. In other words, it's a natural thing as sinners to want to have God's building align itself to me rather than to be aligned to the only true cornerstone. It's what happened in the garden. It's what happened in Eden. It was the first sin. And when we're part of a church community and we try to be the cornerstone, and that's any of us, right? Pastors, staff members, board members, parishioners, whoever you are, that's any of us. When we embrace that tendency and when it doesn't get satisfied, you know what happens? Often what happens is that we start to talk about it. And usually we start to talk about it with other bricks in the building. And why do we do that? I think part of why we do that is if we can't get the whole thing to align to us, maybe we can at least get some people to do it. And then even though the building is smaller than we would like, we still get to be the cornerstone. It's no surprise. It's no surprise at all. It's sinful nature. It's just what it is. It's what we do. Ever since the Garden of Eden, it's what we do. Even when we've been placed in this building, we want the building to be about us. Instead of the cross, we'd like our names to be engraved on the cornerstone. Because our sinful nature keeps telling us that we are the whole thing. And that leads us to our last point this morning that comes from Peter's words. What this building is for. And he says kind of two things. The word, by the way, being built up in Greek is continuous. It's something that keeps happening. God's building happens over and over and over again. It happens all the time that God builds up this spiritual building. And that's what this building, this community of faith that we are all a part of, that's what it's for. That's what it does. It's built so that these living stones, which are constantly getting themselves out of alignment and out of whack with the cornerstone, it's so that they can constantly be realigned. And that happens through the speaking of the word, that God builds us up. It happened at the beginning of the service when we confessed our sins together as all the bricks before the great architect, and he built us up with the absolution, with forgiveness. I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's going to happen this afternoon. We got a baptism this afternoon. And what we get to do is add another living stone to this spiritual building that God has granted us. It's going to happen right after the sermon when Brandon Metcalf is going to become Vicar Brandon, and God is going to send another family to us to speak God's word and to bring us back into alignment. Happen a few minutes after that when we receive the body and blood of our Lord in the bread and the wine of the sacrament. God keeps realigning us to the cornerstone over and over and over again by pouring out the grace that comes to us from the cross, the thing on which he aligns us. Here's how Peter says it in chapter 1. He says this: love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again through the living and abiding word of God. Abiding word of God. The word of God that sticks with you all the time. And as a result, he says, love one another earnestly. See, that's what it looks like to be aligned with the cornerstone. That's what Peter shows us in chapter 1. It looks like putting self aside, as Christ did. It looks like looking out for the other, as Christ did. It looks like sacrificing oneself for the sake of others in the building, as Christ did for us. To be a church member is to be part of this spiritual building. To be a church member is to have received in Christ the gift of community. We are the church together. That's one reason the building is built. And the other reason is actually on our other physical cornerstone. Let's take a look at it. Here's our other cornerstone in the building. This one's out facing 140 on that side of the building. And it says, United in Mission. And I love that. You probably know what that is. That was the theme of our building campaign for a long time. I love it because it so nicely brings together what God's word has to say to us today. United in our purpose to show forth God's love to the world. See, certain buildings don't just stand, they stand for something. I mean, they have associations, right? When you see the buildings, they make you picture something beyond the building itself. You see the White House, you think of the president. See the Eiffel Tower, you think of Paris or France. See the Opera House, you think of Sydney or Australia. God's spiritual building is meant to do exactly the same thing. His church, his people are meant to do the same thing. It's meant to be a people united in mission so that when people outside the building look at the building, they don't see the people, they don't see the bricks, they don't see the building. What they see is the architect. When you drive past our building on 140, you see two wings that are extended out toward 140, and in the center, you see our window. You see the cross. Now, what I've been told is when the building was designed, those wings were meant to be designed as arms reaching out to the community and centered around the cross of Christ. When living stones get it right, when they're aligned correctly, when they do that together, which means, by the way, hearing the word together so that we are aligned correctly on God's true cornerstone. When we get it right, we speak well of the spiritual building that God has built. We speak well of the other bricks in that building as well. When we get it right, we show forth the love of God to the world around us. And we speak his word so that isolated stones may become a part of something, a part of this building, and may have their sins forgiven by the great architect as well. We are used as bricks that fulfill a purpose. The purpose of the building being to enlarge it, to make it grow so that more stones from the world could find their place in the building of God, brought here by Christ through the Holy Spirit to be aligned with the only true cornerstone. The church is a building. It is the spiritual building of God. We are the church together, filled with purpose and community, all of it through Christ. To him alone be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.